Welcome to the Shaun Geek and
Well
Fast
done. Okay, we're gonna
Friends
use that.
podcast. Done.
Well done. Okay, we're gonna use that. Hear another let's go back to OU812.
Okay,
so you've listened to what? We've got four fucking songs.
Okay,
what's your favorite song so far, or do you want to hear a couple more? And
I still like Naturally Wired, but go ahead.
Me too. Do you want to know where Naturally Wired ranked for me?
Where?
Number two. Number one was Mine All Mine. And I'm not a lyric guy generally, but the lyrics in Mine All Mine, in my opinion, is Sammy's best lyrics ever, period. End of story.
Yeah. I mean, like I've said in the past, I don't even listen to the lyrics half the time.
I don't either, but in this song, I did listen.
Do the groove of the song that I pay attention to.
Okay,
and
now,
whatever the chorus is, but
now I'm wondering, I'm going to play the next song.
Okay.
I'm wondering if this song trumps AFU.
Okay. Pick one.
Drums.
I changed my answer.
I knew it.
This one's number one.
Okay. Yeah.
This is number one.
Okay. Now, how well are your eyes at the moment? Can you actually see the screen?
Somewhat. Yeah.
Okay. Can you read these lyrics? Do you want me to make it bigger?
Take one.
There you go. Okay. Read these. Can you read these lyrics out in typical fast fret voice?
Really?
Please do.
All right. Woohoo. Butcha now. Come on. Oh, yeah. Dig it. That's right. It's everybody's ready. Let's go. Moving up and down and down, round and round. Oh, round and round. Moving up and down. In and out, round and round. Yeah.
Best lyrics ever. Oh my god, Pete the Cat should fucking join Van Halen. That's all I have to say.
Oh god.
Oh my god, isn't that horrible?
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. I love this song. You remember like when you and I like have a song idea and we're kind of jamming it out and I'm on the drums and you're on the guitar and I've got a mic.
Yeah.
It's going. Like there's no words, just scatting, right?
Right.
I wish he'd have scattered this fucking song.
Who did?
I wish he would have.
Oh, okay.
Because these lyrics are just, as Lars Ulrich would say, very stock.
What I'm hearing is, choose my words carefully here. It's pretty straightforward. And the guitar shit, it's, you know, it's a little stock.
Very James Brown.
Joe Matt, going Brown. To get himself.
I. What the hell, James singing? I don't care. We're getting paid. Keep
thinking. Hey, man, that was that. Most people know you now. Slip down the line, down and down. Find the people they jump back. Want to kiss myself. Hey! You. 10 bucks. Down, down. I'm not ready to do my thing.
Yeah. What do you think if James would have sang for Van Halen? I think that would have been pretty damn interesting. Yeah. Now, the lyrics in this song sucks, but the music in this song is so badass. And then when Sammy comes in with these fucking stock lyrics, I'm like, dude, did you not get the assignment? Listen how fucking amazing this song is. What are you doing calling it in? I mean, he sounds good. He sounds like Sammy. Sure, but dude, like, you can't take a song as good as this and fucking knock it down like three or four pegs with like lame lyrics.
See, with the Sammy era versus the Dave era, this is like a different version of Van Halen. Almost like, you know, when you had the Headpins and you had Chilliwack, you got Too Loud McLeod, I think, was on both bands.
Oh yeah,
but you're
Too Loud is fucking awesome.
Eddie's playing with both bands, with Dave and with Sammy, and they both have a different type of vibe.
Oh, okay. So you're comparing because both bands had the same guitar player.
Like a different vibe. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's the same if you had the same, say, the singer going to a different band. The band has a different style, so it kind of influences the actual singer's style, right? So, I mean, right. It's the same singer, but it's a whole different style altogether.
Can I ask you a question here?
Sure.
Do you think if, I mean, this song might have been an old song, right? It might have been one of those riffs or one of these jams that Alex and Eddie had, and they might have had it years and years before. Imagine David Lee Roth coming up with something for this. Would it have been better? Would he have been like, what do you think? Do you think Dave would have come up with something better for this?
Like if Dave would have come up with Don't It Make You Feel?
No.
It depends.
No.
I'm going by what's in the screen here.
Sorry.
You're referring to.
Sorry, for Source of Infection, the song we were just listening to.
Oh, okay.
Like, what do you think he would have, his delivery on this, would it have been better than what Sammy came up with?
Hard to say. But that would be awesome if he would have.
Dave would have killed this, man. There's no way Dave wouldn't have killed this. Even on Hot for Teacher, which is
like
doesn't have amazing, there's not a lot of lyrics in Hot for Teacher, right? It's very straightforward. There's not much going on. And he's not really singing all the time. He's kind of talking. He still made Hot for Teacher cool as fuck.
Like right? At the end of where it says here, round and round, and he goes, yow. Well, that would be the usual typical Dave.
Yeah. His cat call or
cat call or whatever he does.
Yeah.
And I could hear that. I could hear it in there. For sure.
If you guys don't know what we were talking about with the Headpins, great fucking Canadian band. Todd and I saw them, correct?
Yes. Unfortunately, the guitar player passed away.
Yes. He was in the Headpins and he was in Chilliwack?
Chilliwack, yeah. I believe.
I'm going to play just a quick snip of both bands just so people know. This is my favorite Headpin song. Do you see where I am here?
Yeah.
This is my favorite Headpin song. I don't care. This is. Album. Can I put this one on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Psst. Come on. Turn it up. Turn it up. Come on. Turn it. Yeah!
my God.
Wait, I got just a bit more. Why are people not talking about her more often? Holy.
I don't know. But she lost her voice at one point. I don't know if it was after this album.
Oh, really?
And then we saw them at the Osborne Inn.
Somewhere on Pembina. I can't remember where we were.
Yeah, at the Osborne Inn, I believe, in the basement.
Was it Osborne Inn? Okay.
Saw them there, and I think there was an Aussie tribute band that was opening for them.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think that
the guy had the guy was bald and had a wig on.
Yeah, but he had wigs.
He just took it off.
But he had wigs for different eras, right? He had the black hair wig for Black Sabbath era, and then he had the blonde hair wig for the Aussie era.
Oh, maybe
he did. I remember that. And then at the end, he took the wig off.
Yeah, remember they played a bunch of.
They were called Blizzard of Oz, or
no, the music before they actually came on,
yeah, was
some old Enter Sandman. What's the name of the band?
Metallica.
Yeah, so it was a bunch of Metallica, but it was like it was a Black Album, or it was like an old stuff that they played that was really, 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 you know, heavy.
Yep.
But yeah, I remember that, and then the Aussie tribute band came on, and then the Headpins came on, and they were awesome.
That was such a good show.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember the opening band? The opening band, Howling. They were Tooth and Nail.
Oh, did they open for them?
Yeah, they reunited for this show.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so what song should I play? So Headpins had the same guitar player as in two bands, Headpins and Chilliwack. What song should I play out of these?
Out of the Headpins?
What you gonna do? Let's do something a little odder. Like My Girl, Gone Girl, Gone. Everybody knows that one.
Okay. Yeah, which you gonna do? Yeah, a lot of people probably recognize that one too from the Opus.
Okay, let's play it. Holy fuck, is that solid?
My God, does that bring me back?
Didn't that sound good, Todd?
It's like, people have a certain smell. All of a sudden, it brings them back to their childhood. This,
amen. Well, because
I lost my sense of smell. This, I mean, just the song itself reminds me, it brings me way back to Gary's house.
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't a Walkman. It wasn't a Sony. It was a Sanyo version of that.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to this. It was this and Styx. I think they were just kind of back and forth at the time.
The Styx album was.
And then I remember Gary, they would have an actual, a real tree upstairs.
And oh my God. Would have it all decorated. Yeah, yeah.
And Christmas Eve, we'd always be able to open up a gift, I think, before Christmas, everything, one gift.
Yeah.
And I think I opened it it was a Galaxian. It was like a tabletop version of the Galaxian arcade game. And I remember playing that, and I have my headphones on, and I'd be listening to this or whatever. And as we got older, Mike and Norm were really into Chilliwack too.
Were they?
Because he had the cassette in his car, Opus X, and he'd play it, and we'd crank it. It was old, like 81 Caprice or something like that.
Is it Paradise Theater?
Paradise Theory was Styx, yeah. Yeah. That was
Paradise Theory, here we go.
That was one of the first.
Oh my God. This album was so good.
Yeah.
I remember this one.
Really
Snowblind. Oh my God. Fucking awesome.
Was it Daryl Hall? Hall's.
Hall and Oates.
Yeah, he's got jam space, I guess, that he has at his house.
Yes, he does. Yes.
People over, and he had.
Great YouTube show.
And he had the I can't remember the guy's name from Styx, but he was one of the singers and guitar players.
Yes.
And they did a thing there. My God, that just it's just so awesome just to hear all these musicians together and collaborating and listening to these old songs. So it's wow, it just kind of brings it back.
Do you remember this song? Feels So Good.
Yeah.
You do? Do we need to play it?
Wait, feels so good? Sorry, I'm thinking of Melon Cancer. It's so good. Go ahead. Click
Oh,
it
okay.
on.
So this is the next track on OU 812.
Yeah, he went kind of heavy a little bit on the keyboards for the
Yeah,
OU812.
oh yeah, he did. Yeah, well, he started with 5150, and then he went here. This was one of the singles that was released.
Right.
The biggest single on this album was When It's Love. Like, I don't know if you can see the screen here, but When It's Love has 48 million plays off this album.
Yeah.
Far and away, the most plays of this album.
Right.
Second most plays is this one. Or no, sorry, Cabo Wabo 5.2,
Right.
and then Feel So Good. So in terms of popularity, this album for down for streams, the most popular song by far, heads and shoulders above everything, was When It's Love, and then Cabo Wabo, and then Feel So Good. Or no, wait, so no, the next song has more plays.
And then black and blue.
Yeah, and then Black and Blue. You remember Finish What You Started?
Yep. I remember that one.
Don't think we even need to play that one. We know that one.
Maybe I don't want
What's that?
wanna hear. Yeah.
Well, we gotta play it now.
Two. One, two.
Okay, we all know that song, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different era. It's like night and day. Van Halen, like up to 1984.
Yep.
After that, it just shifted to a different gear.
Do you like this song? Finish What You Started?
It's a good song, but it's not the traditional Van Halen that I'm used to.
No.
Kind of like a poppy version of, I don't know, it's almost like,
Gentrified.
say someone hit their head on a rock or something, all of a sudden their brain just kind of changed a little bit. It sounds like the band did the same thing.
Hit myself in the head. This
Well,
is
that's
the
what I mean,
only road.
because it's so different. Well, it's different but the same. So that's where you get the people that have the Sammy era and the Dave era, because it's just so different in contrast. Like, it's a different style altogether. So I mean, you either like it because it's kind of similar but different, or it's different enough to the point where it's like, it's not raw enough. It's
Yeah.
kind of over processed and more, there's more reverbs, there's more stereo, type of
Yeah,
separation.
recording at the time was a lot different too than the 70s. Like, it was harder to get a better sound in the 70s. And when you got a good sound off a 70s album, it was because you had a producer that actually put the time in. I think it was a bit easier in the 80s. to get a better sound. Although in the 80s, for some reason, capturing a good drum sound was incredibly difficult. Because a lot of those 80s albums have horrible drum sounds.
Well, I mean, the guitar parts, when they're recorded, when you listen to the early Van Halen, Eddie's playing in one ear. Now, I can't remember. Now, I'd have to listen to
Very
it again.
true.
Let's say 5150 or OU812, is it still panned to one ear, or is it more of a stereo separation?
Well, 5150 has been remastered, and I feel it sounds a lot better.
Now, is it more stereo or is it more mono for the guitar?
I think it's stereo. My recollection is stereo, but I think one of the
Oh,
things is that
stereo. Yeah, but it's just the guitar part because it was usually one ear. That was.
what the hell was Eddie playing during 5150? Because I remember watching the New Halen Connecticut show or whatever, where he was playing that fucking looked like a cigar box guitar. What was that thing?
A Steinberg.
Steinberger, right?
Steinberg, yeah.
Did he is that what he used on the album?
I don't know because I mean he played that and he played his 5150 guitar, which is basically it looked like a Kramer body with a banana neck on it type of thing. That
Right. But
was
is that what he used on the actual album?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know how long his actual original Frank and Strat lasted, whether it's still something he has or, you know, at what point he stopped using because they started to replicate the ones that he was using. So, I mean, he could play a different one every night if he wanted to, really.
Sure.
And then once he went to, was it Peavey? I can't remember. It was Peavey that was first where he went to
Because he
do.
had that big contract with them, right?
Yeah, and that's where the first Wolfgang came in, or no, sorry, was that Ernie Ball, the Axis? I think it
Ernie
was Ernie
Ball
Ball.
was the
Think that was the first one. I think, and then after that, it was PV, and then after that, it was the VH brand, which I think is it part of Fender? Can't recall now, but
shit, man, I don't remember now.
I think Fender kind of amalgamated some other companies to come in.
Yeah, maybe.
Jackson, I think maybe part of Fender now, but I don't know. It's just everybody wants to buy everybody else out, and
Yeah, that's typically what happens.
but if their models still sell, then why not? Just keep making them
What
as
did
long
you
as.
think? What did you like when we saw whatever that 5150 concert was, when he's playing the Steinberger, visually, what was your first thought? When you saw him playing that thing, there was no head, right? I believe there was no head. It was just a neck and then that cigar box body. Like, what was your, did it look cool to you?
It was different. It was almost like, you know, when you play, see somebody play keyboards and they get that keyboard guitar
Guitar,
thing, that
guitar, yeah.
guitar, whatever goes around your neck. It's almost like that. It's kind of the same but different
Right.
type of thing. It just
It sounded okay though, right? I recall
Oh yeah, it sounded
in that
great.
thinking it sounded really good.
And it had a trans trim. So basically you could take the tremolo bar and lock it down so the whole guitar would tune down a pitch
Whoa.
or down another pitch
Wait,
or down
wait,
another pitch or however it worked. But that was the way
wait.
it
Wait, wait,
worked.
can you explain that a bit more? I
Well,
kind of want to understand.
say when you play guitar, sometimes people use a capo.
Yeah,
Okay.
sure.
So it goes over the frets. First or second or third, depending on where you play up the neck, right? So basically, this is kind of the same idea, but instead of a capo going across the strings to change all the strings pitch all at once, the trans trem, like the tremolo, you'd kick it down and all the strings would tune down one fret.
Was that specifically in the Steinberger?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, now I understand why he'd want to play that. Because I was like, For me, okay, I'm not a guitar player. I'm a drummer. I'm a drummer. So I see him playing that guitar, and I'm like, that doesn't really look that cool. It looks like he's playing a toy guitar. Like it didn't look. It doesn't have the big body. It doesn't have the head on it. It looked a little. I'm like, oh, okay, but it still sounded good to me. But from a player's perspective, if you can do that, like you're saying. Fuck yeah, I'd use that guitar. It makes sense. It makes it easier to do that than, I mean, the functionality of it is huge.
Oh yeah, it's definitely different. It's almost like, well, I mean, you're playing a seven string. I mean, you get an extra string, so it's, I mean, you get a, it's either a lower, I mean, you have your E, your low E, and then you go down yet again further down. Same with if you buy bass, a normal bass, say four strings. Once you get five strings, you know, you can go a little lower,
Right, sure.
scale if you want, because you've got a thicker string again. I mean, it makes it wider, it makes it heavier. You but yeah.
What do you have to say about the attire from that concert video? Did it have an influence on your playing, Todd? The attire they were wearing, the pinks and the parachute and the tank tops. Is it possible that you may have emulated that particular fashion sense?
No, like live without a net.
Yes. Live without Annette. I don't know what Annette has to do.
Yeah.
Van Halen,
I just know
why
he
she's
had
named in that video. I don't understand.
pink
And
parachute pants, and that was the only thing I remember.
in the pink
I
tank top.
didn't Sammy have like yellow parachute pants or something? I
I
can't
think
remember.
so.
And Alex, God
Oh,
knows.
fuck. Now I gotta look it up, dude.
How did Anthony have
Tube.
parachute pants on?
You know what I remember though? Do you remember? I can't remember. I think it was the pound cake video or round around. I can't remember. And do you remember what Michael Anthony was wearing?
No, not a fan, no.
Oh, come on. You don't? Really?
No, I didn't pay attention.
He was wearing a polka dot shirt, a button shirt.
Okay.
Polka dots. When I saw Mike Anthony wear that, because I always thought Mike Anthony was the coolest guy in the band, because he didn't get as much, you know, people talked about Eddie and people talked about Alex and people talk about Dave and then Sammy. Mike was the guy that he was the guy they talked about the least. And I that every man about Michael Anthony appealed to me. So in Pound Cake or Run Around, he had, oh, I'm playing the video. I'm getting there. Hang on. Hang on. Bear with me. I got to show you what he's wearing. This is it. Okay. I'm going to share a screen. I'm sorry, Todd. This informed my fashion sense. Hopefully, this.
What are little girls made of? What are little girls made of? With sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of.
Look at it there. Did you catch it?
Yeah, I saw it there.
The polka dot shirt there. You know how many times I went to the Palladium wearing a polka dot shirt, hoping that people would realize, oh, you're as cool as Michael Anthony, but not realizing that people didn't think Michael Anthony was cool.
Well, I mean, unless everyone saw that video.
Well, nobody saw the video.
Yeah, like I don't even remember it. Just, just
Okay.
wearing his polka dots.
I bought a polka dot shirt to be just like Michael Anthony. I wasn't trying to be like Eddie. I wasn't trying to be like Sammy. Does this bring you back memories?
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be hurt.
Steinberg.
The fuck is Sammy wearing? Wearing a Chip and Peppers?
No, originally I thought it was a poncho.
A poncho, yeah.
He's got the padded elbows.
Do you remember the first time you saw this thing?
Yeah, it was probably this one, this album.
Yeah. I thought Mikey was so fucking cool here. There's the Steinberger, right?
Yeah, Steinberg. I don't know if it's Steinberger or what. Okay, Steinberg.
The hell is Mikey wearing? What's that shirt he's wearing? It's got like a comic book thing.
Oh, probably the Bart Simpson shirt.
Oh, it looks like. But look at the chemistry, though. Like, they're actually playing off of each other. I bet you Sammy comes over to Mike at this point. Mike's having a good time. You go, look at that smile. Mike was having fun in the band at this time. I think this is the most fun Mike was having in the band.
Yeah.
How happy he is, man.
I was so happy that Van Halen was coming out with a new album. It didn't matter whether it was Sammy or whoever it was. As long as something came out.
Amen.
We needed more Eddie.
Yeah, we needed another Eddie album. You know, it's like, oh, it's not Dave, but you know what? Like, smoke your cigarette there, Eddie. The pace is a lot faster, eh?
Yeah, more so than the album, yeah.
It looks like they're having so much fun here. Okay, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
So Alex would have his big drum solo.
Mm-hmm.
Alex would have his big, Alex would have his big drum solo. Eddie would have his big guitar solo. Mm-hmm. Michael Anthony had his own thing, right?
Right.
So what does Sammy do during those sections?
Sits down, has a drink, goes, takes a piss. I don't know.
Well, I read Sammy's biography or autobiography that he wrote.
Right.
And I always wondered, and maybe my recollection is not very good, but do you remember the song Pleasure Dome?
No, I'd have to hear it.
Are you going to make me play it, Todd?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll play it here. Pleasure Dome. This is Corey Morissette's, it's possibly his least favorite Van Halen song.
Cool.
So I'm going to join share screen. Do I need to skip ahead a bit?
Sure.
This is
remastered?
What's that?
Is this remastered?
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's awesome. Here, I'll play a couple more seconds here. Now,
yeah, you know what? I honestly haven't given Alex enough credit with drumming. And when I listen to that and just the way that he's playing in between notes and stuff, yeah, sounds really, really good. And then the next part that follows after this part,
yeah,
actually, he goes even into it even more, I think.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
Yeah,
I love this song. Morissette hates the song.
Why?
He doesn't like what Sammy's doing. Sammy completely ruins the song for him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I can understand it. But now, I don't know who named the song, but I know Alex put the song together.
Like a jazz.
What's that?
Almost like a jazzy, groovish.
Yeah. So. I think this was one of those, Alex was playing something. From my understanding, Alex was playing something, Eddie joined in, and then that was it. And then they did another session, and they played something different. Alex played something different. Eddie jumped in. Apparently, there's three different things going on here. And Alex put it together.
Right.
And it formed this song, and then Sammy wrote lyrics over top of what Alex and Eddie put together. So this is like, it came from Alex, or it started from Alex, and this got put together. Cause I mean, it's very heavy drums, right?
Right.
So Eddie and Alex, fucking amazing. Like, this song is fucking amazing. And thank God for the remaster, but you can hear, there's multiple moments in here where Michael Anthony's going ape shit crazy on the bass on here. It's really, really good. Like, I strongly recommend going back and listening to these remasters, but it's really, really good. And then Sammy comes in as the weak point of this song yet again. I don't like slamming Sammy, but there's a few times where he's like, yeah, I'm just going to phone it in. I mean, I don't want to add anything too crazy on this, because, you know, the brothers are doing what they're doing. So anyway, Corey does not like Sammy on this song.
Hmm.
So, but anyway, what I was trying to get to was going back to this live with Annette. Was apparently there were so many solos during the concerts that Sammy would just go off stage and be bored out of his gourd while someone's doing a solo. And there's three solos during their concerts, right? There's the three other guys doing solos. So there'd be, you know, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And then Eddie was like 20 minutes or whatever solo was. So he'd have all this free time. The rumor is, and I believe I read this in Sammy's biography, was that he would find a groupie and under the stage. I don't know if it was under the stage or beside the stage or somewhere. There was a sort of private area, and he would take the groupie and, you know, they would get it on during the solo, and when the solo was done, he'd come back on stage to perform, you know, having emptied himself out or whatever, however you want to call it. And I believe, and it could be wrong, that he called that area he went to with the groupie, he called it the Pleasure Dome. And I think that was the basis of the song. I'm probably totally off my rocker, probably totally wrong.
Either lore or...
I'm probably making this shit up because, I mean, incorrect headlines and all that sort of stuff, right?
Right.
And that's what we do on this show, incorrect headlines. But I think there was something there with the Pleasure Dome was, okay, well, this is the place I go to for my quiet while those guys are doing, masturbating on stage. This is where I go and I get my rocks off.
Right.
I think, now I'm totally wrong. I'm sure I'm totally wrong, but this is my hypothesis, is that that's what he was doing during that time. Your thoughts?
It's possible. I mean, the rock and roll life back then, I don't know, was he married? Was it
Well, he was on the edge of a divorce at that point.
is it a common knowledge thing? Is it just kind of like I said, is it just lore? Is it just rumors? It's hard to say unless you hear it right from him directly, but you said you that's what it said in his biography.
I believe so, yeah.
Well, it's possible. I'm sure there was enough groupies there that, you know.
Oh, I mean, like he's the new singer for Van Halen, right? So I'm sure at that point it's like, oh, you're the singer for Van Halen, and then there's just, I mean, that's the way groupies were back then. If you're popular, and they were, 5150 was fucking huge,
Right.
right? And OU 812, now you've got When It's Love, you've got a massive fucking ballad. They had a strong ballad off 5150 with Love Walks In. But you've got the ballad band, so now they had the dudes coming in to listen to them, but they have the ballads. So the ladies are coming in now. So they, like, anyway. Black and Blue. Back to Black and Blue.
Black and blue.
Got to hear it.
Yeah, you may have to play a little bit.
God damn it. All right, let's go back. And we'll play
Doing
Black.
the whole album? We're doing
What's that? We've made it through now.
the whole album?
Yeah, we're this the second last song. So we go back. Black. Here we go. Black and Blue. This was the lead single. Remember this one? This was the lead single off this album. This is what they when they released the album, or before they released the album, this is the single they put out.
Yeah, this brings me back to the early 90s.
Oh yeah.
Big time. Yeah.
Yep.
When was this
So
released?
what's that?
What year was this released?
88.
88?
Yeah. But I mean, it played for a couple of years before FUCK came out, right?
Right.
Can you read some of these lyrics for me, Todd? I think you can do these lyrics better than Sammy. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Slip and slide, push it in. Bitch sure got the rhythm. I'm holding back. Yeah, I got control. Hooked into her system. Don't draw the line. Honey, I ain't through with you. The harder, the better. Let's do it till we're black and blue. Well, you never know when love will come. God.
Oh fuck. You should have sang for this band, Todd. It just like done spoken word like Johnny Cash style or something.
Yeah, Johnny Cash. Crazy.
Slide. Push it in. Or she, what if Tom Waits sang for Van Halen?
Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Give us an example.
I'll give you an example here. You guys ready for Tom Waits doing Van Halen? You ready? Slip and slide. Push it in. Bitch sure got the rhythm. I'm holding back. Yeah. I got control. Oh boy, that's creepy as hell, isn't it? Fuck Tom. Oh. Tom Waits and Eddie Van Halen doing an album together would have been fucking killer. It would have been so fucking weird.
Oh, it would have been weird, all right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The last song is Sucker in a Three Piece, which isn't even worth talking about, to be honest. It was ranked so on the end the podcast will rock. Apolitical Blues is the 10th track, which doesn't show up on the remaster.
Okay.
Which was them with a mic. They put a mic in the room and hit record and went. And they played a Little Feet song.
Right.
It's fucking horrible. It wasn't released on the cassette, but it was released on the CD only.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, that was ranked number 10. And number 9 was Sucker in a Three Piece.
Right. Well. But the more popular songs at the front end, I guess.
Yeah, like When It's Love was ranked really, like, ended up being really high on their list.
Right.
But
Poppy song.
Yeah, for me, I really like Mine All Mine. That's my number one. And AFU and Source of Infection, they're both like rockers. They're both really solid. They're both really good.
Yeah, they're not as radio friendly though.
No, but I mean, and that's the stuff I like from Van Halen, like the Hot for Teacher sort of vibe, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's OU812. My favorite Van Hager album.
Yeah.
And then that's yours as well, right?
Yeah. It's pretty good. 5150 was okay. It was kind of cutting his teeth. Yep. OU812 was kind of into it. And yep. Eddie had a different sound. Yeah. I mean, it was a different band, basically.
Yeah. But they were comfortable with each other at that point. They were very.
Yeah, they're the best they could be at
yeah.
in that group, in that band, and the way the style that they played together.
Yeah, I agree.
It's good. Yeah, very good.
Everybody, I know everybody gravitates towards the Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. I said it right this time. Mm-hmm. Everyone gravitates to that being the best Van Hagar album, but not for me. This was it for me. This was the one.
Yeah.
And I learned, like, when I was learning drums, I'd played for a few years. This album came out because I think I started playing in around 85, 86. When did we move? 86, 87, 87. I started playing drums in 87. I tried to play 5150, but this was the album that I really started playing drums to for Van Halen specifically. So, Finish What You Started, fucking complicated as hell to play, but I learned how to play it and sing it at the same time, and it's not easy. You need two left feet to play this one. But this album was, this to me, this was the it was Alex. I felt he sounded better on this album than 5150 because he had those electronic drums in the last album. This was, to me, this was the Alex album, and this is my Van Hagar album. End of story.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to sign off? Time to sign off. I think we both need to go to bed. I'm super tired. I've been up for a long time.
Yeah. Same.
Okay. Where do you find us, Todd? What's
all right. You can find us on seanmcginity.ca. That's SEANMCGINITY.CA.
I won't see the catchphrase. It's old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can find all of our episodes on there for sure.
Yeah. Like, we're there. And all social media at Sean Geek Podcast. I try to respond to everybody who says any sort of comment of any kind on any of our social media. I try my best. And come back next week for more of Sean Geek and Fast Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye. Hey, gang. Sean Geek here.
And Fast Fred.
And we have two storefronts. If you are a TeePublic fan, you can browse our inventory over at TeePublic, which is teepublic.com/SeanGeekPodcast.
Or redbubble.com/people/SeanGeekPodcast.
You can get anything from either storefront, from t-shirts, stickers, phone cases, accessories of all kinds. We're talking masks, notebooks, mugs, pillows, totes, tapestries.
Oh my.
Oh my. Everything's there. Just go to those addresses. Also check the show notes and help support the show. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.